So as I was reading this, I was like, okay, well, these are all things that we can relate to and understand. You know, we're running a race. But then I asked the Lord, I'm like, he says, but only one will receive the prize. So I asked him, what does that mean? What does that mean, Lord? And, you know, why do you say it that way? Well, our spirit or our flesh. He said it real simply, just said it in my heart. Your spirit or your flesh. One is going to win, and that means the other is going to lose. So as we enter into the service today and into worship, search your heart and see how much of myself, how much of my spirit do I truly feed? How much of myself do I give to God? You know, we oftentimes talk about wanting to serve God with our lives, serve God with everything. But sometimes in church, our minds can be distracted. Well, we're here away from all the distractions of life to seek God. And if we can't seek Him now, how much more difficult will it be on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday? So at least take this time to train and to feed your spirit, to feed the one that you want to win. So as we stand and as we worship and as we praise God and as we hear the word of the Lord, keep your heart focused on Him. Let the distractions of the week, of next week, of whatever's happening in your life, let those be set aside. Put those at the feet of the cross and just focus on Him. Because if we ignore and if we forget or just avoid training in anything, you get bound to fail. I mean, as much as God loves us, our spirits are going to be weak because, you know, we're not feeding those things. And that's, if we can't focus and start training ourselves here, the rest of the week just makes it for that much tougher to really focus and pay attention on God. So if you'll join with me and stand, we'll just pray a little for our hearts to be prepared and just for God's will in our lives today. So Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord. We thank You that You put words in front of us, God, that we can understand. And God, that You speak to us when we don't understand them. Lord, we just set our hearts and our eyes and focus on You, God. Lord, just help us for these next hour and a half, Lord. Just have You be the only thing on our hearts. Lord, just let every other distraction that's around us, that's running through our minds, or any devices that are buzzing in our pockets or, you know, our jackets or next to us, Lord. Just let those be set aside, God, and let our focus be on You. So, Lord, we offer up our worship to You, God, and our praise, Lord, and we give our hearts and our ears to You, God, to fill. So, Lord, we just thank You so much, God. And, Lord, I just pray that we can get the revelation, God, of being true sons in Your kingdom, God. Not just laying around and asking You to do stuff, God, but taking our authority that You have given us, God, and that we will learn how to be sons that work in Your kingdom. So, Lord, we just thank You, God, and we offer ourselves to You. In Jesus' name.
Everything changes as Everything changes as you breathe on me. Everything changes as you breathe on me. All my hopes, my fears, and all my dreams. Oh, my heart, my soul, and all I keep. As you teach me, Lord, to lead my family, everything changes as you breathe on me. Everything changes as you breathe on me.
Your breath I breathe.
this world will ever do. But you everything changes as you breathe on me. Everything changes as you breathe on me. Everything changes as you breathe. As you breathe on me, all my hopes, all my hopes, my fears, and all my dreams, all my heart, my soul, and all I keep. Here as you teach me, Lord, to leave my faith. It's on the glory of our age.
Like in the natural here, if someone breathes on you, they have to be right next to you, face to face. So as we sing this, just imagine God face to face, because he is right here, right now.
Won't you come? Won't you come and breathe on me? Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come and breathe on me? Won't you come? Won't you come and breathe on me? 'Cause everything changes as you breathe. Changes as you breathe on me. Everything changes as you breathe on me. Oh, everything changes as you breathe on me.
Don't you realize that that's the breath that I gave you, that I breathed into the dirt of this ground to give you life in me? You have the ability to breathe life into your situation. Though it may look grim to you, you have the ability to breathe my breath into your situation, my life into your situation, my hope, my love, my grace, my purity, my essence into your situation, because it's my breath that surges in your lungs. Church, if we can capture this and you can actually understand the fact that is not your breath, it is the very breath that God gave to you, surging through you, the ability and the power and the impact that you're going to make in your situations, in your life, just because it's looking dreary to you doesn't mean that God can't change it in an instant. When you capture the fact that this is his breath, God, I'm going to breathe your breath into my situation. I'm going to breathe your breath into my finances. I'm going to breathe your breath into my marriage, Father God, into whatever the situation may be, and you're going to watch it change. Because just as he breathed his breath into you and you came to life, you're going to breathe his breath into your situation and you're going to watch it come to life.
everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Can't live without.
everything changes. My, oh my, as you walk into this room. My, oh my, how hearts begin burning, lives begin turning.
And the response to the words of Almighty God, in response to the lyrics of this song, the Lord wants to transfer. He wants to transfer the burdens, the anger, the disappointments, the illnesses, the finances, the weakness. He wants all of that transferred from within. And he's going to refresh us. It's like a sunny morning after a cold, dark, nasty night. So we're going to breathe out everything that is holding us down, everything that is trapping us, confusing us. We're going to take that all out in a deep breath, and we're going to present it to the Father.
Yeah.
And in replacement, we're going to breathe in his love. We're going to breathe in his breath. We're going to breathe in his strength. And Lord Jesus, we are new. Because of your love, because of your life, because of your sacrifices,
yes, thank you,
for us daily, we are new. So now, breathe in. And breathe out and let the Lord fill you with his grace and his mercy and his love and his power. Amen, Lord. Amen. Every day, amen to you, Father. Amen. Breathe in the gentleness of our God. Breathe in the love of our Savior. Breathe in the light that comes forth from the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Breathing in your grace, and I'm breathing out your praise, and I'm breathing in your grace. Oh, I'm breathing in your grace. Oh, forever I'll be breathing in your grace. And I'm breathing out your praise. And I'm breathing in your grace.
Rise.
deserve the glory. Yes, you deserve the glory. From you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Give something glory just because someone told us to, but you are worthy of it. You are worthy of it. You are worthy of it, Lamb of God, that was slain from the foundations of the earth. You are worthy of all of our attention. You're worthy of all our affections. You're worthy of all our thanksgiving. You are worthy of it all. And Lord, today we give you our affections. We give you our hearts. As we breathe you in and breathe you out, Lord, we give you our being. We give you who we are. You're worthy of it, Lord. You're worthy of all of us. You're worthy of everything that we have. And we gladly lay it down, Lord, for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, as the team sings this song one more time, I'm going to open up the communion tables for families and for individuals. I want to remind you that as we take of the Lord's body and of the blood, of the bread and the juice, that we're not just grabbing items that are physical items that we can tangibly hold and eat and drink, and use them as a representation of the Lord's body and blood. But we're grabbing eternal substances because he was slain. His body was broken and beaten and crushed from the foundations of the earth before we even existed. His body was broken and his blood was shed. So today, supernaturally, spiritually, we're participating in eternal substances. And I want you to take in the life of his broken body, the life of his shed blood, and receive it with that kind of faith. That you're connecting with the supernatural realm of God in a physical, tangible way that can transform our lowly bodies into a greater appearance and image of who he is. We thank you, Lord, for your broken body. And Lord, we do. We bring it to remembrance today. We bring it to remembrance to our hearts. And we receive this communion time now, this table that you have prepared before us with thanksgiving, with gratefulness. We honor, Lord, your broken body and your shed blood. And we receive the life that's in the blood. We receive the oneness and the wholeness that's in the body of God. And we thank you, Lord, for this gift that you've left us. This gift of you that you've left us. Something physical that we can hold and realize that you did something that is eternal and changes us eternally. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Table's open. Come.
Worthy of it all.
Perfect.
We need to take more time thinking, pondering, using our imaginations if we have to realize the depth of how much God loves us, of how much, as was said earlier, that we breathe, not just air, but we breathe Him in. It's Him that makes our heart beat. Someone say, no, your heart's a muscle and it's ran by electrical pulses and it goes. I'm here to tell you, our heart beats because of Him. We exist. We're alive because of Him. And He's always thinking of us. We're always on His mind. And He loves it when we put Him on our minds. When we turn it around and we say, Lord, I'm thinking of You. I'm thinking of the greatness of who You are. I'm thinking that You chose to dwell in this humble body, to take residence inside of me. And as you do that, He'll become more real to you. You will know Him more. Not just know about Him, but you'll have an intimate knowing of Him. So I just encourage all of us, including myself, to have a constancy, a continuance of thinking of Him. When you hear some news and something comes on the TV another broadcast over your phone about some catastrophe that's happened, and you can feel even your heart sink a little bit and kind of a fear start to grip you, turn that around and think of Him. Just think of Him, that He's above all this, and that you're in His hands. Why should you be afraid? Father, we just thank You for this opportunity to gather together to be with You, to gather together as Your sons and daughters, and spend time to get to know You more. And we just bless You, Lord, as You have so richly blessed us. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, team. Praise the Lord. Thank You, team. Really good today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. You can whistle. I can't whistle very good, so. Well, praise God. Let's see. Let's have the children come on up. Children, all who are children. Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Did any of you get to watch the Seahawks game yesterday? So are you upset that they lost? No. They won. Someone look at that. They lost? It's like, I thought they won. No, they took command of that game, didn't they? Moses is like beaming over there. Yeah, they did. If they ever get behind, I'm going to text Moses and say, quit standing and yelling at the TV, Moses. But you know what? We can cheer on the Hawks, and there's nothing wrong with that, and get excited, especially if they go to the Super Bowl and win again. There's nothing wrong with really getting excited about that. But Jesse, who came and joined me for the game yesterday, said something. Put it all in perspective. He says, you know what? It's people that I don't know, and you know, it's I'll forget about them in a, you know, you said tomorrow, but the point being is that really we have something to get excited about, and that's that we are the children of God, and you guys are the children of God, and that's a reason to cheer. It really is. I mean, you see those people who paint themselves up to look like a Seahawk, or at least the colors. Some of them are almost like totally body painted, and they go, and because they're fans. And that's how excited they are about a football being thrown around. But how much more can we really be excited about that the God of all creation lives in us? Amen? So you go today and you go and learn about how much God loves you and how much he has in store for your lives. Father, we just bless your children right now, God. And I just ask that you would just touch them, Lord, in such a way, God, that they will never be the same. Lord, that even as they're in these years right now that seem to be years that are just kind of growing and transitioning, Lord, I pray that you would use them for your glory. Lord, that they would hear your voice, they'd be able to follow you and become all that you have called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Gay is in Cleveland, Ohio, and she is not enjoying the weather. It's very cold, and she said yesterday she's ready to come home, and she only got there Tuesday, but she's ready to come home. So actually Wednesday, got there Wednesday. We had an issue going over the pass on Tuesday. How many heard about this truck that hit a rock that was in the middle of the road, and nobody was seriously injured? I spoke to the driver on Friday night. Believe it or not, it was Cleo Coronado, who is associate pastor of New Life Center, who rent our facility and join with us. Yes. And he's a miracle man. I told him his new nickname is going to be Miracle Man. So if you check online and watch the results of that accident, it is a miracle that he lived. They said they don't even know how he controlled the truck to keep it from flipping and twisting and everything. I believe that he had angelic forces helping him. So the Lord just told him, just grab the wheel and ride it out. And so he was, you know, all beat around in the truck, but no serious injuries. Come on. Praise God. That's the Lord that we serve. Amen. We tried all day to get over there, and the pass didn't open until late, so she missed her first flight. But you know what? Those kind of things happen, and there was a reason. So you just have to just say, you know, Lord, these circumstances don't make sense, but you're in control of my life, and so I'm just going to trust you. So at this time, I'm going to have Stephen, my son, come up and share the word big time, right? Big time? You're going to stay up here? Oh, wow. Okay. Well, how about we'll chain you down? Oh, he's going to. Okay.
Yeah. Were they in the playoffs? Did they lose? I don't pay attention to the losing teams anyway, so that's why it don't matter. Anyways, who did watch the game yesterday? Who did? Raise your hand. If you didn't, raise your hand. Oh my gosh, let's get you up here and we'll pray for you. I'm just kidding. It was a good game. I woke up from my nap at like 5:40, so I missed the first, well, and then I took a shower, and then I started watching it. But, hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing? How you feeling? Good? Jacob got hit by a car this week, and he's in church, and he's a stud, and no serious injuries, but his bike got demolished. If you're on the prayer chain, you probably got that text, but we're glad that he is all good, right? Did you like throw the car off of you when you got up or something? Got mad and just flipped it up? That's what I would have done because I can move cars. Anyways, so my favorite part of the game yesterday, by the way, is when not once but twice Cam Chancellor decided to jump over the line to attempt his block of the field goal. And he did it once, and they weren't smart enough to figure it out the second time. And he did it again, and he blocked it. But then the kicker decided he wanted to trip and blamed it on him. And it was a whole big mess, but whatever. It was still really cool. I don't care who you are. But anyhow, So I'm going to talk today about Esther. And how many of you know who Esther is? Raise your hand. In the Bible, a few of you, a couple of us, it's all good. Esther is my wife's favorite biblical person. Esther's actually pretty cool, I think, too, even though, you know, I'm a dude, but I think it's okay because it's cool. So anyways, I kind of talked to my dad about preaching and whatnot. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And so I started, the Lord had placed this word on my heart, and I started listening. And I'd read through the whole book of Esther earlier on this week, and I was kind of reading, and I was like, well, maybe I need to preach twice about this and kind of do a consecutive thing. So we'll kind of see where I end up and see if it goes into a second term or not, whatever you want to call it. But we'll see. So anyhow, you know, I want to talk about the process and embracing the process that the Lord has for us. Because how many of you know we all go through a process to not necessarily get to the end result, because I don't believe as believers we have an end result. I believe that God calls us and we're continually growing and we're continually changing and we're continually serving him and walking out every little thing that he has for us to do. I don't believe there's a destination. You know, some people think that money's going to get them to a certain place, or a job's going to get them to a certain place, or something to that extent is going to, they're going to finally hit this moment in their life where they arrive. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're never going to arrive at that destination that you think you're going to arrive to. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that, boom, you hit a destination and that's it, all's good. You can sit back and coast for the rest of your life, unless you are like Elijah and you get taken up in a whirlwind, because that would be pretty stinking cool. But that's a pretty good destination. But anyhow, a little bit of backstory on the book of Esther. King Xerxes, is that the right way to say it? King Xerxes, I'm going to call him Zerk, because whatever, I got the mic and you don't. But anyways, King Xerxes is the king, and his queen at the time is Queen Vashti. And King Xerxes, now I got to remind myself to say it. Anyways, King Xerxes, he has this huge banquet for all the nobles and the people and everybody in his kingdom. And he, long story short, we're going to cut it into quick terms here. He calls on Queen Vashti. And in these times, you don't approach the king. You don't come to the king. You don't do anything until the king tells you to come. And when he tells you to come, you better just put a smiling face on and do what the king wants. So anyhow, King Zerk requests the presence of Queen Vashti so everybody can look at her, because she's beautiful and she's the queen and she's got the cool clothes on and she's got the cool hat on and whatever. Queen Vashti just says, I'm good. No thanks, but I'll talk to you later. Well, this enrages the king. Okay, so this really makes the king frustrated and mad, and he starts going through all these scenarios in his head of what his kingdom is going to do when they find out that he summonsed her, and she basically just shut him down. So his noblemen, or his posse, whatever you want to call them, they get together and they have a little meeting, and they're like, well, how about you just pick a new queen? How about, you know, that'll really show the people that you're still the man, and we'll just demote Queen Vashti and we'll promote a new queen. And so King Xerxes, he liked this idea, and so he decides to have all these people come, all these young, beautiful women from all over his land, and they all submit to a process. All these women come into this, it's called the harlem, is what it is. But anyways, they submit to this process. And Queen Esther, well, she's not queen yet, but I blew the story. Shock, sorry. Anyhow, her real name is like Hadassah, or Hadasha, however you want to pronounce it. Hadassah. See, I couldn't have said that. But also, it says in the Bible, also called Esther. She is the cousin of Mordecai, the Jew. Her mother and father were killed when she was young, and her cousin adopted her. And the Bible says he raised her as his own. Pretty much this is all the backstory we have on Esther, is that her parents died. She's the cousin of Mordecai. He adopted her, and he raised her. It's pretty much all we got on her. She didn't live this crazy good life. It doesn't say any of that. That's really all the backstory we have. So, in Esther chapter 2, in verse 8, I'm going to read for a little bit. And it says, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, which is the good translation, but that's okay. It says, as a result of the king's decree, Esther, along with many other young women, was brought to the king's harem at the fortress of Susa and placed in Haggai's care. Haggai was very impressed with Esther and treated her kindly. He quickly ordered a special menu for her and provided her with beauty treatments. He also assigned her 7 maids, especially chosen from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maids into the best place in the harem. Esther had not told anyone of her nationality and family background because Mordecai had directed her not to do so. Every day, Mordecai would take a walk near the courtyard of the harem to find out about Esther and what was happening to her. We got a ways to go, so just take a deep breath and we'll keep going. Before each young woman was taken to the king's bed, that's right, I said the king's bed, she was given the prescribed 12 months of beauty treatments, 6 months with oil and myrrh, followed by 6 months with special perfumes and ointments. When it was time for her to go to the king's palace, she was given her choice of whatever clothing of jewelry or jewelry she wanted to take from the harem. I'm just going to pause there on verse 13. So like I said, she was submitted into this process for 12 months. 12 months of soaking in different perfumes and oils and this and that, and having these 7 women around her constantly rubbing these things on her. I mean, getting a massage for 12 months, that'd be pretty nice, and that's all you got to do is just sit there, hey, whatever. But she was submitted to this process for 12 months, okay? And, you know, when we submit our lives to the Lord, we are submitting to a process, and we are turning control of our lives over to him, okay? And sometimes that process can be long, and sometimes that process can be grueling, and sometimes that process can have days where it doesn't look like it's going the way that you planned, and it doesn't seem like the things that are happening in this process are even God's plan, because it looks like there's something, you know, you get a divorce, or you lose a job, or your finances are in a awry, or other things happen when you have submitted to the Lord, and it just doesn't look like the process is going the way you necessarily want it to. And a lot of us, sometimes we buck the process. And I've bucked the process lots of times, and it doesn't ever help when we buck the process. We kind of, you know, take the reins back into our own control, and that's not true submission to the process. And so anyhow, in these processes, we don't know when the breakthrough is going to come. We don't know if the breakthrough is tomorrow. We don't know if the breakthrough is in a month. We don't know if the breakthrough is in a year. But God is setting us on this process to get us to build our faith, to build our strength, to build our trust, to build our relationship with him is this process. And if we can't jump over here to the end of the process before we go through what he has for us to walk through. It's God's process, so it's not ours. And so what really happens isn't really up to us. And the good thing is, you can say, you know what, God, I don't know what you have planned for me today. I don't know what you have planned for me over the next 12 months or 6 years or 10 years, whatever. But it's up to you. And no matter what you have for me, God, I'm going to submit to the process, because you know what's going to happen and you know what's going on. And you know that my husband is struggling, or you know that I'm having trouble with my finances, and you know. And so if anything goes wrong, well, really, it's your fault, not mine anyways. And that's the truth. And that's something that we need to grab, because God knows what's happening. And I know that makes that kind of sounds weird, that sometimes bad things can happen, but those bad things are happening not necessarily from God, but they're happening to grow us, and they're happening to strengthen our faith and strengthen our ability to walk the process out. Does that make sense? Amen. Okay. God's plan always supersedes our plan. His plan is above our plan. In what is it, Proverbs 16, verse 9, and it says, we can make our own plans, but God determines our steps. And that's so true, because we can choose ways that we want to go and lines that we want to walk. Esther could have said, you know what? 11 and a half months into it, she's just like, I'm done. I'm done. Well, 11 and a half months into it, did she not know that 2 weeks later, she would be presented to the king, and the king loved her over all and made her queen? Okay, and so after the 12 months is up, after Esther submitted to the process, after she decided to say, you know what, okay, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through all this, she, we'll pick it up in verse 14, it says, that evening she was taken to the king's private rooms, and the next morning she was brought to the second harem where the king's wives lived. There she would be under the care of Sheshgaz, the king's eunuch in charge of the concubines. She would never go to the king again unless he had specially enjoyed her and requested her by name. Esther was the daughter of Abihail, who was Mordecai's uncle. Mordecai adopted, we know all that. When it was Esther's turn to go to the king, she accepted the advice of Haggai, the eunuch in charge of the harem. She asked for nothing except what he had suggested, and she was admired by everyone who saw her. So I want us to jump over to chapter 4, in verse 14. Actually, I'm going to back up a little bit to... I'm just going to give you a little bit of the backstory. So, long story short, there's this dude that is King Xerxes' right-hand man, and his name is Haman. And Haman does not like the Jews, and Queen Esther is a Jew, and she comes from a Jewish background, and she comes from that family. Long story short, Haman says, you know what, King, there's some people in the land that basically they don't really want to follow your rules, they don't want to bow down to you. They don't want to do anything that you tell them to do. They serve their own God, and they abide by their own laws. So let's kill them. And so King Xerxes likes this plan, lets Haman put it into motion, gives Haman his ring, says, all right, put my seal on it. When my seal is on it, can't be broken. That's that. Anyhow, Mordecai approaches Queen Esther and says, look, you got to save our people. You have to go to the king and plead for us, basically. Okay. And so it says, then Esther, hold on just a second. Esther responded to Mordecai with this. Then Esther told her servant to go and tell and relay this message to Mordecai. All the king's officials and even the people in the province know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king is not called for me to come to him in over 30 days. So the last queen that Queen Xerxes had bucked the process. She decided to ignore what the king wanted, and basically she was demoted. And so now Mordecai is asking Queen Esther to basically not listen to the king's rules and approach him anyhow. And so let me keep reading. And the king's not called for me for over 30 days. In verse 13 it says, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? because she submitted to the process, because she submitted to the time that the Lord had set apart for her to be in that process, to have her night with the king, to have her, to have him say, you know what, I'm going to choose you to be queen over all these others, because she submitted to the process, she's now, in Mordecai's words, who knows if perhaps you are made queen for such a time as this? Who knows that you are made queen to save our people? When we submit to the process, we may not know what the end result is, but God is going to call on us at that time that he needs us to say, okay, son, or okay, daughter, this is what I have for you to do. And because you've submitted to my process, because you've done everything that I've asked you to do, because you've been faithful in the little things, I'm going to ask you to be faithful in this. And then it goes on to say that Queen Esther approaches the king, and he basically, he holds out his gold scepter to her, which invites her to come and meet with him. And she meets with him, and he basically says, whatever it is, whatever you need, I'll give it to you, even if it's half the kingdom. And so obviously, God was with Queen Esther because she had submitted to the process, because she had submitted to what the Lord was asking her to do. Now, I'm not saying this process is a legalistic, religious, this, that, and the other. I'm saying that God has a process that he puts all of us on, that he built us for relationship with him. He built us for oneness with him. He built us to say, you know what, Lord, I'm gonna have this one-way channel with you, and not for him to say you can do this and can't do this, but to have that oneness, to have that cohesiveness with him because of the things he has for us to do, because of the calling that he wants you to walk in, because of the who knows, perhaps you are made queen for such a time as this. Who knows? Maybe you were placed in your job for such a time as this. Who knows what that person next to you is going through, and you have the key to say, you know what? I know of a better way. I know that you're struggling, and I know that life's tough, and I know that life's hard, but let me pray for you. And if we don't submit to the process that the Lord has for us, and we're not listening to his voice on a daily basis, and we're not saying, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? God, direct my path, direct my steps. God, I want to live for you today. And we're not constantly listening to his voice and have this upward channel, then when our buddy over here is struggling, how are we to help him? We can't, because we're not submitting to the process. At the end of the story, Queen Esther has approached the king. Haman, the guy that wants Mordecai killed, basically gets killed himself. Mordecai gets promoted. Queen Esther saves the day. Well, God saves the day. But it's because Queen Esther decided to submit to the process and say, you know what, no matter what it is that I got to go through, no matter how long, how grueling, how whatever, God, I want to have relationship with you. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. And because of that, she was able to say, okay, go with me, Lord. Go with me as I approach the king. Go with me. It says in verse 15, it says, then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go and gather all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go to see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away, and he did everything as Esther had ordered him. Because Esther had submitted to the process that the Lord had wanted, and I keep saying this, but sometimes we kick the process and we kick against it, and we don't want it to mess with our plans. But because she submitted, she was able to walk in the calling that the Lord has for her. What is it that you're facing? What is it that doesn't look necessarily like the Lord is in it? Are you submitting to the process? Or do you have the reins in your own hands? Are you trying to control everything on your own? Or are you saying, God, I'm just going to give it to you? And I'm not saying, Lord, help me with this problem. Lord, fix this problem. Lord, fix my marriage. Lord, fix my financial issues. Fix my job. Fix my hurt. Fix this. No, what I'm saying is, take control, God. It's your story, not mine. I just want to love you. Because when we take that aspect of it and we say, okay, God, whatever you want, whatever is up to you, it's up to you. That's when the Lord comes in and he just changes everything. So that's what I got. If it was for you, then I want you to just have a moment with the Lord and say, you know what, God, I'm done not submitting, or I'm done not having a relationship with you. I'm done kicking against what you want me to do. But take control, God. It's your story, not mine. So. Amen. Oh, hold on. What? This is completely unrelated. What do you want? Yeah, sort of. Do you want something else? You were going to say. I don't know what you were going to say. What were you going to say? Anyways, so next Sunday, we're going to do a Seahawks Sunday. My dad's like, oh boy, I'm going to wear a Seahawk jersey. And if you're wearing anything other than a Seahawks jersey, we're going to pray for you as you walk through the door that the Lord will transform it into a Seahawks jersey. But just because, and I know they play at noon, but we're going to do it because it's fun. So anyways, here's my dad.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. No, no.
Yeah, so what Stephen said is to take the message today and take some time. And I think that is easily forgotten sometimes because we are so much into the grind of going and viewing something, watching something, and moving on. But you know what? We got to stop doing that. We've got to start really, really absorbing what God's trying to tell us. We got to start receiving it into our hearts. And it's not just one time. It's not just, you know, if you need to, and, you know, because he went over the chapters pretty quickly, reread Esther and ask the Lord to show you something. But don't just take his revelation and just live off his revelation, because it'll be empty, folks, eventually. You have to find your well. You have to find your place where you're getting fed from the Lord. One of these days, I want to preach a sermon, You Don't Need Me. Because so many of us and so many of the body of Christ thinks that they need just someone. They need someone, a person, someone they can hold to. And a lot of times it's the pastor. I need the pastor. I've got to get a hold of the pastor. Listen, guys, you have God. You have God with you, in you. He's, like I said earlier, he's the one who's giving you breath. He's giving you life. But it's so easy to forget about him. Not forget about him in the way that you forget about God, but forget about that he's there for you, just as he was for Esther. That story is just so amazing, how probably 20 or 30 incidences were all lined up that took place perfectly for Esther to be queen. Because I don't believe it was just Queen Vashti's who just thought one day, well, I don't think I'm going to go to the king. She thought that herself. I believe that she had an inspiration to be disobedient, because God wanted Esther in that place. Because he knew the seed of Haman and what he wanted to do. And God was ready to bring the relief and the deliverance to Israel through a woman, thank you. Right? Wasn't a man. Sure, Mordecai played a part, but Esther was a woman who was mightily used by the Lord. And so I want to encourage you that you have a God who's orchestrating things for you. If we would just open our eyes to see it, if we would just take time to absorb it. And I believe as you do that, you're going to get closer to him. Remember, this year we want a year of really knowing God. Not knowing about him, not just knowing what he's done, but to know his ways, to know who he is, to know his heartbeat. And some may say, well, that's really simple, Pastor Mike. Yeah, it's simple, but it's not easy. It takes discipline. It takes buffeting your flesh. It takes setting aside your own personal time sometimes to focus on him. Not in a religious way, not in a guilt way, but in a way to really know our Maker. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to be bringing a gray, ugly, that's all I've got, unless somebody wants to say, Pastor Mike, I've got a Seahawks jersey for you that will look good, because I've got some nasty old stuff, because it was when the Seahawks had not so good colors. So anyway, praise the Lord. Hey, Glenn, can we do Everything Changes one more time? Are you good for that? I think it's so apropos with everything that has been going on here today with the message. And so if you'd stand, let's just worship a little bit more, and then we can be done. God bless.
Signs and wonders that you bring. How Zeke.